Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That CI-126, man, the deceptive tactics they are using, all the money they've got to try to push that nonsense to mess with our elections here in Montana. I just sent this out via X. Let me get on that one. Some of you may not have heard the campaign ad that just played out of our Billings radio station. I don't know what you heard in Butte, what you heard in Bozeman, what you heard in Livingston, but you've heard about this CI-126. They're trying to basically do away with Montana's primary election. This is the Democrats' Hail Mary. They're losing elections. They can't win, you know, the major elections here in Montana. So they're desperately trying to change the way we do elections, so that they can interfere and basically take away your vote through this really crazy scheme that's basically ranked choice voting. But Representative Jane Gillette out of Bozeman, she gave me a ring yesterday, and they've been putting together the receipts on this, on who is paying for these ballot initiatives here. I mean, we've already told you about the millions of out-of-state, in some cases foreign financiers that are funding CI-128, the radical abortion initiative. But they've also got the receipts now on who is paying for this shady group called Montanans for Election Reform. In fact, Lucas Schubert, he tweeted this out yesterday, about 14 hours ago. Montanans for Election Reform, the group funding CI-126 and CI-127, received over $10 million last report from Virginia and D.C. dark money groups. He says, we can't let them change our Constitution and the way that we vote. Vote no on CI-126 and CI-127. But Representative Jane Gillette's also been looking at these numbers here. And she says that there's this Texas-based left-wing foundation that is spending $17 million. $17 million where they're trying to push these crazy election schemes here. So Representative Jane Gillette out of Bozeman, she sent me this statement yesterday afternoon. Montanans are not stupid. They're asking, why would the Texas-based Arnold Foundation spend $17 million trying to buy a new election system? We are voting no on CI-126 and CI-127. So there you go. Now I'm reading some of the comments on X. I think some people are thinking that they're trying to get us like a new election system, that, you know, like a computer system that counts votes. No, they are trying to throw the whole election process out the window with CI-126 and CI-127. So there you go. Let's see. So Thursday's show, Thursday morning, right at 6:06, I said something. I said, did I just hear that Joe Biden just bit four kids at the White House? He bit four kids at the White House. I was like, did I really just hear what I thought I hear? Oh, I did. And the person who got me laughing the most about that story this morning was, oddly enough, Piers Morgan. Remember the British guy who used to be on CNN? All right, we'll get to that and much more. Freedom Friday.
Securing America.
U.S. officials say the fact that North Korean troops have been sent to assist Russia in that country's fight against Ukraine further accentuates the need for reliable alliances. During a news conference Thursday following meetings with South Korean officials, Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke about the issue.
What we're also seeing underscores the indivisibility of security between the Indo-Pacific and Euro-Atlantic theaters.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. is expanding its cooperative efforts with South Korea.
And we're increasing the regular deployments of U.S. strategic assets on the Korean Peninsula.
Austin adding that the action by the Russians and North Koreans poses a threat to everyone, not just the Ukrainians, because
a permanent member of the U.N. Security Council is violating Security Council resolutions that it agreed to.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, highs range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, upper 20s in Bozeman with mid-30s in Billings. And then for Saturday, we can expect clouds and some partial sunshine. Could see a few rain showers towards Bozeman with highs in the 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Election Day is almost here. Here's what we're going to do on through Tuesday with Montana Talks. We're going to give you the opportunity to talk. We're going to give candidates the opportunity to talk. You can call in. They can call in. Plus, we're going to keep an eye out for the big breaking news. What's the big story of the day? You'll get the chance to tell us. Montana Talks. We take you statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m. The phone number, put it in your speed dial, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, he actually did it. Joe Biden, they were hosting some sort of Halloween party at the White House a couple of nights ago, and he actually did it. This got buried. I was surprised. I had heard something yesterday morning, very early in the morning on Fox and Friends about this. They were laughing. They just did a quick passing reference about how, meanwhile, Joe Biden bit four babies at the White House, and then they laughed, and then moved on to all of the other big news. So this got buried in all the big news, but yeah, Joe Biden, you see the video. He practically shoves an entire foot in his mouth. He wasn't just doing the little playful nibbling on the tip of the toes here. He shoved half of this baby's foot in his mouth. It's like, what in the world is Joe Biden doing right now? Who let the monster out of the basement for Halloween? Now, of course, they let him out of the basement even before Halloween, because that's where he, or was he on a Zoom call? I think he was on a computer. So they, for some reason, they let the monster get the password to the computer so that he could, you know, make his "you all are garbage" remarks. And then, did you guys hear the White House went in and altered the transcript? You know, because the White House will produce, they'll publish transcripts of what the President of the United States says every day in these public meetings and things like that. They went in and literally altered the transcript to try to erase the garbage remark from the official White House transcript, even though, like, the people that are responsible for that, the scribes that are responsible for the official transcript are like, hey, you really shouldn't do this. They did it anyway. They did it anyway. But, you know, I was laughing about this a few minutes ago. I was like, because usually as I'm, you know, prepping for the show, you know, there's a moment where you just bust up laughing about something. And maybe it's something Donald Trump said, you know, in one of his entertaining Trump rally speeches. Maybe it was something that John Jackson, the Joker from X, shared via X. Yeah, who knows, right? Or a funny clip on The View, the crazy ladies on The View saying something crazy. No, I kind of had to laugh today because the fact that Piers Morgan, of all people, got me laughing. Piers Morgan, remember him when he had his own show on CNN? And, you know, he's a pretty left-wing guy overall. But I think he's kind of been pro-Trump, hasn't he? I don't know. I don't know too much about Piers Morgan. But man, I was just dying.
Well, it's just extraordinary. I mean, we've just spent 5 minutes talking about the President of the United States eating babies. And when you think we're exaggerating, you see that close-up picture of him literally taking that baby's leg like it's a chicken leg on a Sunday lunch. It's bizarre behavior. But there is a serious point, I think, which I think the rest of the world is making, looking in, which is it's very easy to forget that Joe Biden remains the President of the United States. And it's only when he pops up biting babies' legs or he's doing weird Skype calls from his bunker right in the middle of Kamala Harris's great address to the nation, which is just such odd timing. And all of it is very weird and very odd. And you think, well, actually, if there was a major crisis right now in America, is this guy the baby biter on Skype? Is he going to make the call about what happens? As to this wider thing with Mark Cuban and women, it's very interesting to watch the way the Democrats have generally tried to play and depict themselves as the great standard bearers and flag wavers for women's rights. because they keep going on about abortion rights. Okay, fine. What about the other half of women's rights, which they pretend nobody cares about? What about the rights, for example, of women to compete in sport in America without having to come up against biological males? A United Nations report, you probably covered this, but last week said that 900 medals yep. had been removed and deprived from biological women who had lost to trans athletes. That's not a small number. So the Democrats like to say, we are all for women's rights. People like Mark Cuban, we're the women's rights, they're the women rights haters. I've only heard one candidate stand up for women's rights to fairness in sport, and it's Donald Trump. So I'm not buying this, the Democrats are the only ones who care about women's rights, because it is transparently not true.
Yeah, wow, great remarks there by Pierce Morgan. I think I had heard the first half of that, but thanks to our producer Travis for grabbing kind of the second half of that as well. And interestingly enough, Travis also printed an Associated Press article for us here today. I hadn't even seen this one yet. Great grab here. So the Associated Press is actually doing a story featuring our friend Lily Meskers. Lily Meskers, you remember, she is the college student at the University of Montana. She is the student athlete and the student journalist who broke the big international news story. She got international news attention. Now, most of the fake news media in Montana ignored it. Or they ignored her even when they finally covered the story 2 weeks later. She is the one who broke the big story about how, remember the political endorsement deals that were being offered to college student athletes here in Montana? They were trying to offer paid political endorsements to college student athletes here in Montana to back John Tester. They were trying to pay these young women to endorse John Tester. And these young women said no, because John Tester voted to allow men into women's sports. Anyway, there's a big Associated Press article here. I haven't gotten to read the whole thing. I was just kind of organizing my stack of stuff there as I was listening into Pierce Morgan. But yeah, University of Montana track athlete Lily Meskers drew attention when she rejected a NIL deal to support Democrat John Tester in his Senate reelection bid because she does not agree with his vote on transgender athletes. She's the rare college athlete to speak out on politics. That's Montana Strong right there, if you ask me. And then the Associated Press continues, many are concerned about risking potential name, image, and likeness deals. Others have not figured out what matters to them yet, but many are involved in pushing voter turnout and finding other ways to get involved. The Associated Press actually covered this story, 2 months later? Hey.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
What was Donald Trump doing in an orange vest riding around in a garbage truck other than drawing lots of media coverage? Well, this dates back to President Biden making a blunder that hurt his vice president by saying that the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. Now, that choked off the generally favorable coverage of Kamala Harris on the Washington Ellipse. And it all goes back to a comedian at the Madison Square Garden rally saying, thought this was funny, that Puerto Rico is an island of floating garbage. Now, you might call this a garbage campaign because there's a lot of stunts and charges and countercharges back and forth. In fact, when Donald Trump said he's going to do it, that is protect women from illegal immigrant criminals, whether the women like it or not, that brought a sharp response from the vice president. I think this shows how they react in real time. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, highs range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, upper 20s in Bozeman with mid-30s in Billings. And then for Saturday, we can expect clouds and some partial sunshine. Could see a few rain showers towards Bozeman with highs in the 50s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Not just one, not just two. Heck, there's two Navy SEALs that served with Tim Sheehy that live in Montana alone that are backing Tim Sheehy in a powerful ad in the U.S. Senate race here. There's over 19 Navy SEALs and EOD technicians along with the SEAL Team 2 commander who are all backing Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy. You got to check out the videos and much more. Get the facts, not the liberal spin. Go to MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the USDA is planning to test raw bulk milk nationally for the H5N1 bird flu virus because of the growing number of cases during the past month in California dairy herds and, of course, the recent finding of a different strain of the highly pathogenic avian influenza on a small Oregon farm that infected at least one pig. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack explains how these recent developments and even a testing system in Colorado influenced USDA's decision.
When H5N1 first appeared on the scene, we indicated our approach was going to be similar to the approach we've taken with other animal diseases, which is that we respond and react as the situation evolves and changes. We've recently seen the introduction of H5N1 in California, and for a period of time we thought it was relatively contained in that state, but we've obviously seen recently a significant number of increases in the number of herds that have been impacted and affected despite efforts on the part of California. We also, at the same time, we saw the state of Colorado institute a fairly aggressive testing regime, and the result of that testing regime allowed them to identify precisely where the virus was, to utilize a number of tools, including advanced biosecurity, and as a result, they are now virus-free. So we see that that system of biosecurity, identifying where the virus is and trying to contain it, at least worked in the context of a Colorado. At the same time, we're seeing, obviously, where we have a more intense concentration of dairy operations in California, we're continuing to see more and more herds being impacted.
Now, since the outbreak began in dairy herds in March, there have been 404 herds hit by the virus in 14 states. However, California accounts for half of those infected herds, 202 dairies with 158 confirmed cases in the past month alone. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Registration is now open for the 105th Montana Farm Bureau Convention headed for Billings, November 18th to the 21st. Keynote speakers include well-known scientist Frank Mittenlohner, who will talk about climate-smart livestock, Vance Crowe on legacy interviews, and Austin O'Brien on the effect of artificial intelligence in agriculture. Workshops include everything from meat cutting to navigating family transitions to water issues, and delegates from county farm bureaus will vote on policy for the coming year. Register today at mfbf.org.
If your tractor needs to be fixed, you go to a tractor mechanic, not a car shop. So if you want to grow your agriculture business, shouldn't you go to a lender that specializes in agriculture? That's AgWest Farm Credit. We've been 100% focused on agriculture for over 100 years. So we understand your challenges, and we have the deep financial knowledge and experience to help you reach your goals and grow your future. See how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, relief for low commodity prices in a lame duck session is still a very active topic on Capitol Hill as prospects for a farm bill this year dim with the close of the 118th Congress. However, the American Farm Bureau's Joe Gilson has been meeting with farm lawmakers and staffers, pushing for economic help for producers amid what he says is a farm recession.
A new farm bill would have taken care of a lot of these issues, but because we don't have that farm bill, we have different needs across the country that have not been met by Congress.
Now, this year we've seen hurricanes hit the southeast. We've had devastating wildfires out here in the west. Low commodity prices and high farming costs are everywhere. But as for a farm bill this year, well, time is certainly running out there, but it still remains a top priority. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, look at this. Hey, Normie. Cliff, this guy just committed a rare act of journalism by the Associated Press on the Friday before the election of all times. Well, technically the story was filed at 2:13 yesterday afternoon, but you get my point. Cliff Brunt is an Associated Press sports writer. Ah, that explains it. See, the sports guy can do a better job covering actual political news than the political reporters, right? Because the political reporters are a bunch of left-wing hacks by and large, and the sports guy just wants to cover sports.
So he just wants to tell it like it is, apparently. He just wants to call fair shots. But no, this is a great story here. Here's the Associated Press headline. College athletes push for voter turnout while largely avoiding controversy as election nears. And this is the whole profile. And the first paragraph is dedicated, first like two or three paragraphs, is dedicated to Lily Meskers, the 19-year-old University of Montana sprinter. And in this article, she is pointing out that the reason the reason other female student athletes at the University of Montana rejected a paid political endorsement opportunity for Liberal Senator John Tester is because he voted against them. He voted against their sports when he voted in support of allowing men in women's sports. And there's some great quotes in here. And then, like, the last 3 to 5 paragraphs are dedicated to this story as well. The Associated Press writes this. For Meskers, deciding against the offer boiled down to Tester twice voting against proposals to bar federal funds from going to schools that allow transgender athletes to play women's sports, a prominent GOP campaign topic. Tester's campaign said the proposals were amendments to government spending packages, and he didn't want to play a role in derailing them as government shuts down loom. Why would protecting women's sports derail a spending bill, John? Oh, because you and your radical leftists, Chuck Schumer and the rest of your buddies, support men in women's sports. You won't stand up for Montana girls. You won't stand up for Montana women. This is a man, I can't believe the Associated Press did this story and allowed it to be published the Thursday before the election, because you are not allowed to do anything critical of Liberal Senator John Tester with the Associated Press. But see, it's a sports story. That's how it got through. I wonder if this story is on the Billings Gazette website. I wonder if the Billings Gazette said, hey, here's a relevant Montana story. I wonder if the Billings Gazette said, you know, we should put this Montana story in our newspaper. I wonder if NBC Montana carried this. I sure as heck know KTBQ Television didn't carry this story, because these guys, it is so comical how Q2 is carrying the water for John Tester. Wait, I am telling you, it was just comical. Just comical. So you guys have seen it. Look, Q2 News, I remember 24 years ago when we were in the middle of, you know, big presidential race, big statewide elections here in Montana. And I remember one of the press secretaries, he said, oh, yeah, you know, I can't remember what the reference was. I'd have to ask the guy who was one of the press secretaries at the time. I'd have to ask him if he remembers what this conversation was about. But I remember him, you know, I was just, 20 years old back then. So, you know, still young guy, still new to the whole, you know, Montana political scene, et cetera. But he said, well, yeah, Q2, yeah, they're a good outfit. They've got a good reputation. They got a good team there. And they've always had. They've had a good reputation. They've been a good team. My first TV job was at Q2, and they've still got some great people that work there. But, man, their political coverage is just appallingly bad. I mean, it is just, at this point, you're like, wow, you guys are just making it so obvious that you are trying to help Liberal Senator John Tester, that anybody who has actually watched their station or followed their Facebook page is making fun of them, is openly mocking them now. So you just heard me. Even the Associated Press, and the Associated Press is very far left, the Associated Press just ran a full story about how John Tester voted against women's sports, voted to continue allowing men to take away opportunities from women in women's sports. But yesterday on their website and on their Facebook page, KTVQ Television has this story. And the Montana Television Network, which many people are now referring to as Montana's Tester Network because their coverage is so appallingly pathetic. Here's their headline. No, John Tester did not vote to let men compete against girls in sports. What? But then you read the very article that they posted from this left-wing, fake, phony, fact-check outfit, PolitiFact. You read the actual article. Here, I'm going to quote from the actual article. Senator John Tester, Democrat, Montana, voted against two amendments to broader spending bills that would have stripped funding from schools that allowed transgender athletes to compete in sports matching their gender identity. So your headline says John Tester did not vote to let men compete against girls in sports. Your opening few paragraphs say that John Tester did not vote to let men compete against girls in sports. But when you get down to it, the story actually says that, yes, John Tester voted to allow men to compete against girls in girls' sports. I mean, for Pete's sake, Q2. For Pete's sake, you know. Actually, no, thank you, Q2. Because, see, if you just pretended to be fair and slightly pushed the narrative this way or that way, it would be effective. But you're making it so obvious, people are just laughing at you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got to say, hold on. I got to hit send on this tweet real fast here. Here's what I'm sending out, and I've got a photograph. You can see a photograph of the AP story that we printed up. You can see a photograph of the Montana's Tester Network MTN story that they posted, and I'm writing this. Even the AP has a big story about a UM student athlete and how Tester voted to allow men and women sports, yet MTN has a laughable piece claiming that didn't happen. Their viewers are now calling them Montana's Tester Network for their biased coverage. There we go. We hit send on that one. I'll bet you their morning show, their liberal morning show anchor right now is probably reading, you know, the script right now. She's probably reading the script. John Tester did not vote to let men compete against girls in sports. Keep reading. Keep going. Teleprompter guy, speed up the teleprompter. Oh, she's got the foot pedal. Tell her to use the foot pedal a little faster on the foot pedal. Get down further in the script, and then you'll find it. Yeah, he did vote to allow men to take away opportunities from women and girls in sports. All righty. Let's see. Evan Belt. Evan Belt. Here we go. What did Evan Belt send us? He sent us something late last night here on the Montana Talks app. The way I see it, the Libtanic, you know, like the Titanic, the way I see it, the Libtanic just hit the garbage berg and is sinking. Not only are we conservatives who support Trump garbage, but now I guess, according to the left-wing lunatics, Trump doesn't have any strong, intelligent women supporting him. I guess to them, to be a strong, intelligent woman means people like Leah Thomas, the transgender swimmer who beat Riley Gaines, or Jamie Zamarin, the Big Sky Conference trans. That must be a typo. That was what was that guy's name? Was it Jamie Zamarin, Big Sky Conference transgender runner who was nominated for Woman of the Year in 2022? I remember there was a. Oh, who was the guy from Belgrade? What was his name? June Eastwood. That's his new name. His original name was, he went by a different name when he was running for the men's track team, though. Anyway, he now goes by June Eastwood. Yeah, got Big Sky Conference Female Athlete of the Week. Took away that opportunity from an actual female athlete. And then Evan and Belt says, oh, let's not forget Zoe Zephyr, the transgender lawmaker who was banned from the House floor for breaching decorum. And where was John Tester on all of this? Oh, Evan, I remember where John Tester was. He had Zoe's back. He was backing Zoe Zephyr. and Zoe Zephyr's anti-Christian bigotry that was on full display on the Montana House floor. And John Tester was standing against the Montana grandmas who simply wanted to sit on the bench near the cafe. Anyway, Evan and Belt adds this, well, if memory serves, he voted in opposition to protecting women from competing against transgender athletes. Your memory serves you correctly, Evan. And as for Zephyr, Tester spoke out in support of him. Now, I can't and won't speak for women, but I am hoping there are many truly strong and intelligent women out there on both sides of the aisle that would support our former president and vote for him, because you are not garbage. Have a great Freedom Friday. That was a message from Evan in Belt. On that front, some of you might be wondering, what's he referring to here where he is talking about how, you know, you guys know Joe Biden referred to Trump supporters as garbage. Well, then Mark Cuban, you know, Mark Cuban is this billionaire. He owns a sports team, you know, one of these professional sports team. He's the guy, when he speaks on stage at the Kamala Harris rallies, you thought that was Rachel Maddow. You thought Rachel Maddow from MSNBC had a bad night the night before. It was like, oh, Rachel Maddow's looking kind of rough. Wow, what happened to Rachel? No, that's Mark Cuban. That's not Rachel Maddow. It just looks like Rachel Maddow after a rough night here. But Mark Cuban, let me see. I think I've got a report for you here. Oh, I've got a soundbite. So we'll get to that one in just a second here. But let's stick with the garbage for just a second. Let's talk about this garbage for just a little bit longer. So Joe Biden, you heard the soundbite. We played the audio for you yesterday. He referred to Trump's supporters as garbage. Well, then the White House, KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, was desperately claiming, oh, no, Joe Biden never said that. He didn't call Trump supporters garbage. And even the liberal reporters at the White House were like, we have the video. He said it. Well, then they went so far as to alter the official White House transcript of Joe Biden's garbage remarks. Here's Stephen Miller, prominent Trump advisor Stephen Miller. He was on Fox News last night. I think he was on with Sean Hannity, if I remember right, the Trump War Room, sharing this audio.
Well, look, this is a mess.
Okay, I don't know why. Hey, Travis, can you roll the Stephen Miller clip from in there? For some reason, my computer is deciding to go a little wonky on me here this morning. I'll reopen those audio files. Sometimes that works for me. Are you able to roll that from in there, Travis, the Stephen Miller audio? Okay, he may not be hearing me. I'm not seeing a message from him. Not yet. Okay, that's right. Let me try it one more time here. All right, Stephen Miller. If not, you get the point.
Well, look, this is a massive scandal, Sean. Intervening to try to change...
Yeah, what the heck? I swear. Come on. This stinking computer. All right, well, Travis will get that queued up from in there. I'm going to reboot my Adobe Audition in here because we got a lot of stuff that we want to share with you here this morning. We got a lot of great audio that Travis was so great to compile for us here this morning. I got a soundbite from Lara Trump responding to this Mark Cuban guy claiming that there's no strong women around Donald Trump. Donald Trump never surrounds himself with strong women. It's like, didn't Kellyanne Conway run his campaign? And if you want to bring up Nikki Haley, Donald Trump was the one who hired her to be his UN ambassador, for Pete's sake. Okay, let me try this one more time.
Well, look, this is a massive scandal, Sean. Intervening to...
Okay, what the heck? All right, yeah, Travis, go ahead. Roll that Stephen Miller clip for us. Thanks.
Well, look, this is a massive scandal, Sean. Intervening to try to change the White House transcript to cover up the fact that Joe Biden called 150 million Americans garbage. Let's be clear. Kamala owns that remark 100% because it was Kamala who put out the order, whose campaign issued the directive to launch a full-scale smear and defamation machine against every single American citizen who isn't voting for her. Just think about this. They sent out Obama to attack black men for not supporting her, calling them bigots. They sent out Tim Walz to call every single American who doesn't back Kamala a Nazi, a mass murderer. And then, of course, we have Kamala calling everyone in sight a racist, a bigot, a fascist. This is a case in which Joe Biden, although he may be, was following the instructions of Kamala Harris. She owns this completely and totally. Her campaign is a hate campaign. It's a campaign of vilification and a campaign of personal destruction, and Americans will reject it overwhelmingly. Not to mention, of course, Mark Cuban, again on Kamala's orders, slandering every single woman in America who supports Donald Trump. These people are stone-cold haters, Sean.
Stone cold haters there. Stone cold Stephen Miller laying it down once again. By the way, I would love to get Stephen Miller's reaction to this fake news report by Q2 claiming that John Tester did not vote to allow men into women's sports. Because remember, he called out John Tester a long time ago on that very same topic. All right, we got about a minute to go before the break. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, real quick, since we got only a minute, Ukraine, we've lost the war. Russia has gained territory, and, of course, North Korea is moving in. Zelensky, from the very beginning, was no match for Putin. All we have lost is $174 billion in tax money. It's just a tragedy all the way around. Now, I want to go to Kamala Harris, something she said. She's going to listen to the experts. I did some research. In 1932 is when the progressive movement was launched in the United States. You can find it in both parties today. What that means is that you listen to the experts like Dr. Fauci during COVID instead of elected officials. And this is, she's been brainwashed. This is how she's been programmed. So everyone, do your research on the progressive movement in the United States starting in 1932. You're going to come up with some astonishing facts. So this is where her mindset is at.
When you mentioned foreign policy too, Nancy, there were reports from Israeli intelligence that Iran was going to attack Israel before the election, but now the speculation is that Iran won't do it before the election because they don't want to help Donald J. Trump, because they want a weak administration to remain after Tuesday. All right, great update. Thanks, Nancy.
Your Morning Espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All campaigning in Pennsylvania for Dave McCormick. Yep, Nikki Haley was out there backing Donald Trump, which I think is a great development. Bulk of truckers now say they back Donald Trump. They're wary of Kamala Harris, just like the same thing with veterans. Detroit auto workers on Kamala Harris is struggling with blue-collar workers. She hasn't done a thing for us. What a quote that is. And that pretty much sums it up for the rest of the country. But she's going to fix these things on day one. Day one was January 20th, 2021. Harris pledges to sign a bill to restore reproductive freedom. Well, they have reproductive freedom. I mean, these people make things like, she just flat out lied in this speech the other night. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like stunned.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, it's Matt Walsh, podcaster, best-selling children's author, and world-renowned DEI consultant. My hit comedy and number one grossing documentary of the decade, Am I Racist, is now streaming exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. I went undercover into the world of DEI and got the elites of the establishment to say all the quiet parts out loud. But the only way to watch Am I Racist is with a Daily Wire Plus membership. Head to dailywire.com/subscribe. Use code DEI for 35% off your new annual membership. Don't miss it. Am I Racist, streaming now exclusively on Daily Wire Plus.
It's that time again, where we choose who we think is the best candidate for office. It's a difficult decision that requires the evaluation of contenders. Do they have the appropriate skills for this office? Are they the right type of leader? Selecting the right candidate is no easy feat. That's why, for your office, there's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes choosing the right candidate for any office easy because they find the most qualified people for your roles. Try ZipRecruiter for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine told me decades ago, it takes a genius to make it simple. To which I would add, truthful and simple. At least in the realm of the discussion of the adequacy of electricity supply. Few of us have had full exposure to the complexity of how the generation, transportation, and distribution of electricity to every city, home, and business actually works. But that hasn't stopped us from having strong opinions on everything from retiring coal plants to banning Bitcoin miners. To those who do know how the system works and where the choke points are in the flows of power to the places it needs to go, the remedy is simple. Get educated. For most of us, that's not a workable option. It would take the equivalent of a college semester to get a passable understanding of power planning to be fully conversant in its issues. Where is that genius? I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to 9th Street, Suite 401, Beverly, MA 01915.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, looks like we don't have the, I was kind of hurrying up there because we, I thought we would have the Montana Family Foundation legislative update, but we don't have that one yet. But that's all right because we can play that at the end of the 7 o'clock or even at the end of the 8 o'clock hour here this morning. It is, of course, Freedom Friday. We're going to try to keep things fairly wide open for taking phone calls here later this morning and then, of course, on into Monday and Tuesday's shows as well. Let's get to this this news. This is a man. This was just such a shock of a horrifying, shocking murder case in the Bozeman Big Sky area. Do got to say though, first off, hats off to the Gallatin County Sheriff's Office, and the Gallatin County sheriff and the deputies and the investigators. I know they've been working long hours. Trying to track down a suspect. You guys heard about this. I think we gave you an update yesterday as well. You heard about there was this a gentleman from Belgrade who was just simply camping near Big Sky. And at first they thought he was killed in a bear attack. But then the authorities quickly found out, oh, no, this man was murdered. And it was just a shocking case, just a horrifying case. We've got the update on our Montana Talks website right now that not only has a suspect been found, but they've now identified that suspect. Let's see. Here we go. I've got a Montana Talks report, but let me see as I'm still getting organized here. Let me read what we've got here from NBC News because this story getting national attention as well. A Montana man found slain in his tent this month welcomed the suspect in his killing, a stranger, to his campsite and offered him a beer. The Gallatin County Sheriff said Thursday, Darren Christopher Abbey, 41, was arrested this week and charged with deliberate homicide in the killing of Dustin Jersom, 35 years old, whose body was found in his tent near Big Sky on October 12th, officials said. NBC News saying it was a, quote, chance encounter at the campsite on the night of October 10th, and Abbey did not know Jersom. Sheriff Dan Springer said at a news conference, and by the way, the full video from that news conference is on our Montana Talks website right now. So, I mean, just think about how sad and horrific this whole story is. Here's this gentleman from Belgrade, Montana, just being a good guy, offers this gentleman a beer, and then he gets murdered. The suspect here looks like he was just released. He was released from the Silver Bow County Jail in Butte. When was his last status change? I pulled up his information on the Montana offender website. The state prison has, a database on anybody who's spent time in prison, et cetera. So this guy's had his run-ins with the law. He was apparently last released from the Silver Bow County Jail on Saturday, October 26th of 2024. I was also looking. Apparently, this guy's got a whole bunch of, swastika tattoos and all sorts of stuff, according to the profile on him on the Montana prison website. Let's see if my computer is working again. Here is the Fox News radio report with the update that they are sharing nationally as well.
The Gallatin County Sheriff says a suspect is in custody for the murder of Dustin Jersom, noting the individual is cooperating with detectives, leading them to evidence they say belonged to the victim. The 35-year-old was found brutally murdered at a campsite near Big Sky in early October. Officials initially thinking this could have been a bear attack, revealing an autopsy found he suffered multiple chop wounds. They've yet to identify a weapon used, but say it was something hard enough to cause significant damage to the skull, as well as some flesh areas of the body. The county sheriff noting the investigation is ongoing, but there is no threat to the community. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Like I say, full press conference video and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. All right, we got George Blackard coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, taking your phone calls and much more back right after this.
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Gun laws in the state of New York continue to be the focus of federal courts. Ever since the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the 2022 Bruin case, which undid many of New York State's strict gun controls, the state and the city of New York have been trying new laws aimed at stopping people from carrying firearms, even if they might legally own them. Bruin created a test of new gun laws needing a historical precedent. But now a federal appeals court rules the state does have the power to keep people from carrying otherwise legal firearms in so-called sensitive places such as schools, parks, bars, mass transit, even locales like Times Square. The Second Circuit is basing this finding off another recent Supreme Court decision, the Rahimi case, which ruled that states could keep firearms away from people subject to domestic violence restraining orders. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.